910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. More than 10,000 hotel workers went on strike Labor Day weekend against some big hotel chains in numerous cities, demanding better pay and a reversal of pandemic-era staff cuts that have produced more work for them.
The walkouts began this weekend after talks broke down between the Unite Here union and major hotel chains Hyatt, Hilton, Marriott, and Omni. The union has had success with other recent strikes, winning record contracts at hotels in the Los Angeles area and at Detroit casinos.
ABC's Trevor Ault. Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris and President Biden campaigned in Pittsburgh on Labor Day, courting union voters. Former President Trump did not campaign, instead taking to social media to blast Harris for, among other things, gas prices, which are lower than last year at this time. Russia's Putin arrived in Mongolia, a member of the international court that's issued an arrest warrant for him for war crimes in Ukraine. This is ABC News. The U.S. government seized the passenger jet, a Dassault Falcon 900EX, used by Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. It comes just over a month after the election commission Maduro controls declared him the winner of an election widely considered to be a sham.
Maduro's government says it considers the seizure piracy. The jet is currently in Florida, held under allegations that it was bought illegally through a shell company, then smuggled to Venezuela. The NSC says the plane seizure is to ensure Maduro feels the consequences from his misgovernance.
ABC's Christian Cordero. Separately, a Venezuelan judge issued an arrest warrant for Edmundo Gonzalez, former presidential candidate of the country's opposition, which claims Gonzalez beat Maduro by a wide margin. He's trying again. 61-year-old Jim Dreyer was to try to swim from Grand Haven, Michigan to Milwaukee, about 80 miles across Lake Michigan. His attempt a few weeks ago failed after trouble with a GPS put him way off course. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Plans to reroute part of Enbridge Energy's controversial Line 5 in northern Wisconsin are now in the hands of federal regulators. Enbridge aims to address environmental concerns. The tribe's lawyer is Gussie Lord. She says it's not enough.
This reroute is not a solution. It's a full solution to the danger of the current pipeline. In fact, it really extends the dangers of the pipeline and increases the threat of a devastating oil spill.
It's not clear when the Army Corps of Engineers will decide on the application. 6 different hunting seasons are underway in Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources says early seasons for Canada goose and teal, as well as mourning dove, rail, snipe, and common gallinule, all opened this weekend. The Canada goose population in Wisconsin is about 40% higher than average this year. This is Civic Media News.
Milwaukee's leading the pack. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. The Brewers have a 10-game lead in the division after Labor Day thanks to a 9-3 win over the Cardinals yesterday. Jackson Chourio hit a grand slam to help Milwaukee get the victory. The Brewers and Cardinals play Game 2 of their series tonight. The NFL season kicks off on Thursday with the Chiefs and Ravens. On Friday, the Green Bay Packers will play the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. It's the first time that an NFL game will be played in that country. Quarterback Jordan Love said coaches have been preparing players for the trip.
I mean, it's just a lot of unknowns that kind kind of, it's one of those things, like I like to say, it's out of our control. So, you know, just trying to focus on everything I can do to get myself prepared for the game, for the defense we're going to see in the game plan. And then, obviously, once we get out there, hopefully we go by the stadium, kind of get a feel for the layout, field, everything, and then just play it by ear. But a lot of stuff that's out of our control.
Kickoff between the Packers and Eagles will be after 7 p.m. Friday night. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games right here on Civic Media Thursday and Friday. And with sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mostly clear sky for us here the overnight with light winds across the area. Temperatures will tumble into the mid and upper 40s at sunrise. For your Tuesday, plentiful sunshine. South winds will get a little gusty in the afternoon as highs warm to the upper 70s. Currently 46 degrees.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Schwabba.
Hey everyone, it's producer Conrad. Hope you're having a great Labor Day weekend. Pete and I wanted to spend some time with our families, so today we got some great interviews over the past couple months. Again, hope you're having a great Labor Day weekend. Enjoy safely, and we'll be back tomorrow night. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome to Nightlight, everybody. It's great to have you here. We are halfway through the week, and we have a long weekend in sight. So thank you for joining us here tonight. We're going to hopefully help you unwind a little bit after your long day of looking busy at work or talking politics or sitting in traffic. Whatever the case may be, whatever your day was like, it's great to have you here. And let's talk about some of the things that unite us and connect us, like movies and TV and comedy and ice cream. What? Where'd I get that from? And maybe some sports, some pop culture. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff tonight. We got a great show for you tonight. I will be doing the show from Madison next Tuesday night. That's always fun. We're trying to line up some good in-studio guests. We've had great luck with music guests whenever we've been in Madison. That's a great music town. So we'll see what we can line up for next Tuesday. But tonight, we are kicking it in Green Bay. Conrad, as always, is riding shotgun, ready to take your texts and your calls. How are we doing on those phone lines, Conrad?
Well, it's in progress.
It's in progress. Okay. We still have one, though?
Right now, yes.
All right. So if there's an emergency, we are screwed if we have a caller.
I mean, we could use our personal phone if there's an emergency.
It's not the same.
You want to use a studio phone.
Really want to use a studio phone. Almost hoping for a tragedy so that we have to call 911. On the landline. I don't even have a landline anymore. Do you?
No.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's a landline.
I don't remember though. I think
my folks have a landline. And you know what? I'm glad they do because it's easy to get a hold of them. And they live kind of by the water. I get spotty. So, all right. I'm glad they have a landline. I have no use for a landline though.
Yeah, definitely so, not.
Got a great show for you tonight. Joining me at 7:35 is our old pal, Brian Kelly. Brian is the producer of the Maggie Dawn Show here at Civic Media that you can hear every day. Great show. He fills in a lot and he co-hosts quite a bit. Just a very engaging guy and a really good actor too. So Brian will be along. We're going to talk a little bit about pizza. I'm sure Brian is going to have an acting story for us. He always has great stories. And we'll talk cult classic movies because at 8:35 tonight, we have a director here named Bill Rabane, who is going to talk about his own cult classic, The Giant Spider Invasion. And I just watched it about 2 months ago, and it was really kind of cool. I mean, the effects for like 1975, I think it was, really kind of fun to watch. And I like that, like, the film starts with something happening in space, and something going to Earth and the spiders come out and they're little and they grow. That to me is more realistic than an actual alien coming down to Earth. It reminded me a little bit of the invasion of the body snatchers, about how little plant particles fall on Earth and get in gardens and stuff and take over people. That very realistic and kind of believable. And, you know, the giant spider invasion has its campy moments, but I did like that aspect of it. So we'll talk to Bill Rabane. Thoughts, Conrad? You still here?
Rabane.
I like to call him Rebane. It sounds cooler, don't you think?
I don't know. It kind of sounds like rebate.
That's a, who doesn't love a rebate? I mean, the guy's 87. Do you think he changed his name at this point?
No.
Probably not. But a legendary cult classic director, Bill Rabane, or Rebane, will be here tonight at 8:35. And our old pal Craig Kinnett will be here too. Craig works with Bill. They're putting out a really cool presentation of that movie soon in Waiwega. Craig will be here to talk about that and join the discussion with Bill. So that'll be a lot of fun at 8:35 tonight on Nightlight. We had today. Okay, what is this? National Crackers Over the Keyboard Day? What the hell is that?
Do you see how many question marks I put on there?
Yeah, like what the what does that mean?
I was on the website and it literally was just someone eating crackers over a keyboard. I'm like, why?
That's
the worst thing you could do to a keyboard.
Yeah.
Especially if you have like those sticky keys. They'll get in there.
Right.
Yeah, I don't get why that's a day and why would someone do that?
It's also flip-flop day.
Did you wear your flip-flops?
I do own a pair of flip-flops, but I'm not a flip-flop guy per se. I feel like if you wear flip-flops or sandals, man, you better have great looking feet. That's just my own personal. I know I might be on an island there because a lot of people wear them. You go to the grocery store and it's like, whoa, Frodo, put some shoes on. Some people should not wear flip-flops. And yeah. I'll wear them around the house, but people don't need to see my feet. Isn't that kind of a personal thing?
See, okay, I definitely agree with you. I was at the Packers practice last week.
Yeah.
And it gets pretty packed in there. They pack it pretty tight to get everyone in there.
Sure.
And a guy right next to my buddy and I had one of those dad sandals on, you know, like the brown ones.
Yeah. Whoa. Throwback.
I almost like, I was gagging because I saw how bad his nails were.
It's awful.
It was so gross. I was like, why do you need to show those? Put some socks on.
You don't.
Put some shoes on. And just do that.
And you know, that's what it's come to. Like, I feel like if you're doing something in your life that doesn't hurt other people, big deal, go for it. And I think people wear flip-flops or sandals like that don't think it affects other people. But you're wrong.
Hey, we got a text on the text line. That's pretty funny.
Is
there a website people can consult before they leave the house with flip-flops?
Oh, that's a great, oh my gosh.
And then they asked if you're foot shaming.
I am foot shaming, and I'm a proud foot shamer. No, actually, I have pretty decent feet. I'm not saying they're my best feature, but I still won't wear flip-flops. I just don't know that people want to look at my feet. Again, if I'm at home or I'm grilling myself, fine. But I'm not going to try to distract the Packers with my Frodo feet. That's just horrible. So it is also, I thought this was interesting, Digestive Health Day. Do you practice good digestive health?
I don't know what it means to practice it good.
Do you eat enough fiber and roughage and vegetables and fruits?
Then maybe not.
Okay.
I don't know if I get enough fiber, but over fiber can be bad too.
True. We should have a contest.
Who can eat more fiber in
one of these days? We should just wolf down like fiber and like we'll have to have a co-host on stage.
Yes.
And a co-producer.
Exactly.
Speaking of Digestive Health Day, this I found was interesting. Have you ever wondered what animals pass gas? I'm not an earthy guy. There have been maybe, I could count on one hand the amount of times I've talked about a toilet or gas on this show. But I found this interesting. Hyenas, manatees, dogs, bobcats, American cockroaches all pass gas like humans. Even some fish like the herring, although they use it more to communicate.
That's why they smell so bad. All right.
What is communicate? Don't go over there. I just passed gas. That's communicating. most birds do not. No, they just crap on you outright.
Yep.
And neither do most amphibians, including frogs. Bats don't, possibly because they digest their food so quickly. And neither do sloths. What a weird thing to add on to that report. Like someone's reading this going, but what about sloths?
They need to know, Pete.
I know. I guess so. That was kind of interesting, I thought. So, all right. So there you go. Some animals pass gas. We break all the big stories here on Nightlight. And we do have a, we're getting to tonight's question. We are inching toward the finish line. We're going to talk a little bit about pizza. A list came out and there were several Wisconsin places listed in the top pizza places or top pizzerias in America or Midwest. You said they were.
It looked like most it was Midwest because okay. All the cities, yeah.
So our question tonight is, what is your favorite pizza topping? And, you know, if you want to say sausage or pepperoni, that's fine. Obviously, cheese, I don't think we need to say cheese or even sauce, tomato sauce. But, I know, some people don't like tomato sauce. But what is your favorite pizza topping? And I'm going to think outside the box. I'm not going to say the typical, I like sausage, I like pepperoni. My favorite pizza topping, and you don't get it everywhere, is fresh garlic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know why more places don't have that. I always get easy sauce or light sauce. Sometimes, this is funny, a couple of places I've asked for easy sauce, and they go, I don't think we have that. I'm like, no, dude, it's not like a brand. It's not like Ragu. I just want like light, so I say light sauce now, but because I got myself into trouble. But and then pack that baby with garlic.
Okay.
So that's my favorite pizza topping.
I will
a little offbeat.
I will say mine. I order this every single time now is mushrooms.
Really?
I love mushrooms on pizza, yes. Actually, just that's my go-to veggie, to be honest.
That's so interesting because I like mushrooms too, but they don't really stand out as a taste. Like, you know, I like their consistency. But I wouldn't say, oh, they're delicious.
Love the consistency.
Like yeah.
Well, especially when they're grilled right, though. When they're grilled right, they taste so good on it.
Okay. That's fair. Mushrooms for Conrad. Garlic for me. What is your favorite pizza topping? That is tonight's Nightlight question of the night. 555, not 555. That's the fake number they give you on TV. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what your favorite pizza topping is. And you can say the meats, you know, those are all great. Some people just like meat. I like to mix it up a little bit, maybe some onions, garlic. I'm not a fun person to be around after I eat pizza. I will admit that. But I do love me some garlic on pizza. So we'll do that. We'll read some text too. What else we got here? We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
We got some birthdays.
We got some birthdays. Yes, we do. We should start a birthday listener club, Conrad. Honestly, like the McDonald's birthday, don't you think that would be fun? Like talk about, you know, celebrate Sherry from Horicon's birthday or Ross yeah. from Crawford County or Robert from McFarland. Yeah, there's some good birthdays today. We'll talk about those. I don't know. Ted Lasso's coming back. Yellowstone might be coming back. We got a lot of stuff to discuss. Great to have you with me on Nightlight tonight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue, I'm thinking just of you. Someone's living for their love. Someone's living for their love.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Buck, I think it is time. I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident you're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Baby, when I met you, there was peace unknown. I set out to get you with a fine-tooth comb. I was soft inside. There
Welcome
was
back. Our question tonight is, what is the best movie you've seen all summer? If you want to let us know, you're going to have to do it on the stream, folks. And that was Islands in the Stream that we played in honor of Dolly Parton's birthday, but we only played the Kenny Rogers part of the song. That's how we like to do things here at Nightlight, folks. We celebrate Dolly Parton by playing the part of a song she did with her duet partner. And I think that's the way to go. All right, I'm very excited. We're going to move on here. My next guest is the host of Tune In With Me, which is a nationally syndicated show that you can see on MeTV every morning. Great show. And he's also an old friend and a very funny comedian and a very successful radio personality in his own right. Bill Left joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, Bill.
Pete, happy Dolly Parton's birthday to you and yours.
Via Kenny Rogers. Thank you, Bill.
Kenny Rogers.
Thank you enough.
Why wouldn't you play? It would only be logical to play the Dolly Parton part of that song.
That's not how
you opted out.
Yeah, we don't do that. We try to keep people guessing. We don't like to let people get too complacent.
Let's say today it's not, but let's say it was Kenny Rogers' birthday. What would you do? What would you run?
Tiny Tim. We play some Tiny Tim, and I don't know. I don't even think they ever collaborated on anything. But I just feel
no.
Like...
They never worked together, unfortunately.
Because you thought. Loss. You thought I was going to say Dolly Parton.
I thought you were, but you pulled the old switcheroo on me.
That's right.
Can I ask you a question, Pete? First of all, how long have you and I known each other and been friends? Forever, right? Would you say forever?
I would say we've known each other 30 years, been friends 21 years. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like
that. The first 9 years were a little frosty.
Sorry.
Whenever I have something good happen in my life, I say to myself, I can't wait to tell Pete what happened to me. Whenever I have something bad in my life, I say, I need to talk to Pete so he can make things right. Hmm. I trust you. I love you. You're like my brother. And I only say that because I don't understand Conrad, your producer. Every time I'm on the show, this is the second time this has happened. Conrad is real nice when you're around. And then like today, before he put me on, he goes, you better do good. Like out of nowhere, he just goes, you better do good. And I go, I'm going to do good. And he goes, do you love your grandmother? I go, yeah, I love my grandmother. Why would you ask me that? He goes, it'd be a shame if something bad happened to her. And then he just starts cackling. Whoa.
Conrad?
So far, so good, Bill.
Oh, man. I gotta tell you, first of all, I'm surprised you don't ask me for more advice, Bill. I want to say that.
I'm gonna start.
Second of all, if Conrad is saying you need to do good, he needs a grammar issue. We'll square that away too. And I want to say, right, I'm very sorry. I think he's all hat, no cattle.
I hope you're right. Yeah. I don't know what that means, but I hope you're right because
I don't really.
I still look forward to coming on with you. And I'm not nervous because I know when you and I sit down, when we get together, it's just all kinds of fun. We're just doing it to have a good time.
Very few threats.
Right.
Yeah.
But he throws this extra thing on there. Like, if you don't do good, my grandmother's very sick right now, Pete. Oh, like, even the smallest thing could jar her and end it for her. And now I'm afraid that if I don't do well, Conrad's going to kill my grandmother.
All right. Just give me 1 second.
All right.
Cease and desist. One more threat, and that's it. You understand me, Conrad?
Yep.
Bill, I think I just addressed it. We'll see what happens, but keep me posted moving forward. I really don't think it'll be an issue.
Thank you for doing that.
And my best to your grandmother.
And I'm not one to tattle. I'm not what you'd call a tattletale. But it's just, it's gotten to the point where I've been looking forward to being on the show today. Like, I didn't even go to work today. I just stayed home, man. And I'm like, boy, 9 more hours till I'm on with Pete. 8 more hours till I'm on with Pete. And then, you know, to have a producer, I know the importance of a good producer, and he is a good producer, don't get me wrong. But is he threatening all the guests like this or just me?
This is the first I've heard of it, Bill. I cannot, I'm sorry that's happening, because he is a good producer.
No, it's not your fault.
You know, and I just, I don't know. I've got to look into this.
The last time I was on, I don't know if you remember this, Pete. I was very honored to be your first guest.
Yeah, you were. That was great. That was a lot of fun.
I was the first guest. So about a week before the show started, Conrad started driving past my house late at night. Like I would look outside and I would just see him slowly driving past the house. Wow. And my wife was scared and my kids were scared and he didn't do anything, but it rubs me weird. It just makes me nervous.
It's a boundary issue, I think, is what you're saying.
It is a boundary issue.
I'm with you, Bill. And I think we've addressed it. I don't know that he's ever threatened another guest. He may have. Yeah. You're not, you know, I don't want to put you in a situation where all day you take a day off work and you're like, do I snitch or do I not? Do I take one for the team and just do the show, or do I bring something to fruition here? And I think it's good that you did.
All right. Well, thank you. And I don't want to dwell on it, and I don't want to bring the show down, because the show started out really strong. You had the guy on and he was talking about Sydney Sweeney and people love that.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some convention talk at some point, I'm guessing. But I want everyone to know I'm doing this under duress.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good first step, because you just saying it, getting it out there to the listeners, you've got sort of, you know, I mean, Conrad's got an alibi because he's here, but you're putting this on record. And I think I'm sorry you have to go through this, and give my best to your wife. That's not fair.
I will.
All right.
She's scared out of her. She's hiding under the bed right now.
That's terrible.
I give her credit, because my daughters just ran. They just fled. But my wife is under the bed right now.
The only thing that would make this weirder is if in 3 hours Conrad got in his car right after the show and comes into your house a whomping and a whooping, and this is really happening.
I wouldn't be shocked if what you just described, I know you were kidding around, but if that happened, I would just nod. I would just go, Pete Stradamus, he knows what's coming.
Pete Stradamus. So... So, I mean, I'm sure we could do this. This is so fun to do, first of all, Bill. I was at Second City last Sunday night with my wife and kids.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. We didn't go together. They happened to be there. It was weird. But and they sat us together, which was even more strange. But
weird.
It's just fun to riff. I don't live around comedians anymore. So whenever I need to do this, especially with someone as talented as you, I'm just going to have you on the show if that's okay.
All right. I'm in. I will stay here and I'm in.
We'll have an actual bull session, as they call it.
I would love that. Pete, I just heard you went on vacation, and forgive me for not knowing this, but I don't. Where did you go? Did you go somewhere exotic?
A little place called, we kind of did the exotic triumvirate. We went to Chicago.
Yeah.
Lincoln Park. Overnight to break up a drive to Kalamazoo.
Oh my God.
A wedding on a Monday. Don't get me started. Yeah. And then we drove back up to Door County. So I don't think you can, let's just say if you have a date, Bill, her motor will be running.
You know what it sounds like? You've been to Epcot Center. It sounds like a Midwestern version of Epcot, where you went to all the best countries. You got a sample of their wares.
Bill Leff is here. He is the host of Tune In With Me every morning on the MeTV network. Bill, we're just going to do a little bit of news here, and then I want to ask you about MeTV and Tune In, because it's a great show. Can we do that?
Yeah, all right. I love that.
Give Terry a cold compress, and we'll be right back. All right. Pete Schwab at Nightlight, Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. More than 10,000 hotel workers went on strike Labor Day weekend against some big hotel chains in numerous cities, demanding better pay and a reversal of pandemic-era staff cuts that have produced more work for them.
The walkouts began this weekend after talks broke down between the Unite Here union and major hotel chains Hyatt, Hilton, Marriott, and Omni. The union has had success with other recent strikes, winning record contracts at hotels in the Los Angeles area and at Detroit casinos.
ABC's Trevor Ault. Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris and President Biden campaigned in Pittsburgh on Labor Day, courting union voters. Former President Trump did not campaign, instead taking to social media to blast Harris for, among other things, gas prices, which are lower than last year at this time. Russia's Putin arrived in Mongolia, a member of the international court that's issued an arrest warrant for him for war crimes in Ukraine. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Plans to reroute part of Enbridge Energy's controversial Line 5 in northern Wisconsin are now in the hands of federal regulators. Enbridge aims to address environmental concerns. The tribe's lawyer is Gussie Lord. She says it's not enough.
This reroute is not a solution. It's a full solution to the dangers of the current pipeline. In fact, it really extends the dangers of the pipeline and increases the threat of a devastating oil spill.
It's not clear when the Army Corps of Engineers will decide on the application. Six different hunting seasons are underway in Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources says early seasons for Canada goose and teal, as well as mourning dove, rail, snipe, and common gallinule, all opened this weekend. The Canada goose population in Wisconsin is about 40% higher than average this year. This is Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. America has been wondering why Pamela Anderson took a powder when it came to appearing in the 4-episode docuseries After Baywatch. Well, not all of America, but some of America. Okay, a few people. Despite being prominently featured in one of the episodes that actually credits her with making the show a success thanks to her infamous sex tape with her husband at the time, Tommy Lee, she said no thanks. Anderson says when the sex tape came out, she was mortified and to this day still has not watched it. The studio reportedly was going to fire Anderson to protect the show until it actually made ratings skyrocket. It's called show business, folks. After Baywatch is currently available to stream on Hulu. Someone is using the image and likeness of Hollywood icon Tom Hanks to sell wonder drugs and cure-alls on the internet. Hanks appeared in a public service announcement to let people know that it is AI and he would never try to sell people something that was fraudulent, except for the man with one red shoe.
For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weekdays from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny and breezy today. We'll get to 78 this afternoon. The wind south at 15 to 20, gusting to 25. Tonight, clear with a low of 55. Tomorrow, sunshine, still breezy with a high of 79 with some showers and thunderstorms. Tomorrow night into Thursday, cooler and fall-like by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Brian Kennedy of Glendale.
I've heard Republicans say this is a coup. Nobody voted for Kamala Harris. Yeah, when I voted for Joe Biden in the primaries, I was voting for Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential running mate. In this case, Joe Biden stepped aside. We nominated Kamala Harris.
I think it's a little bit like the Dodgers complaining that the Braves starting pitcher who injured his shoulder yesterday isn't starting today.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Seen her dressed in blue.
Watching the radio on the stream says The Boys in the Boat on Prime. I have not seen that yet, Paula. I think my wife saw that and she liked it. Paula also says On the Road Again. The one with Kristen Stewart? I saw that years ago. I thought it was pretty good. That's one of my all-time favorite books, so I probably was never going to like the movie as much as the book, but I didn't dislike it. I remember that. That's our question tonight. What's the best movie you've seen all summer? Theater, stream, color television, broadcast network, whatever you got. Share it with us. My guest tonight is Bill Leff. Tonight and right now is Bill Leff. He is the host of Tune In With Me on the MeTV Network. It's on every morning on syndication. A great show. Bill, how are things going there?
It's going pretty good, Pete. I'm not going to lie to you. We're starting up season 5. We just did our 800th episode, which is amazing.
Whoa.
It's 800 of anything is a lot when you stop and think about it. But we've done 800 hours where, you know, you get to be a kid again. You get to watch Saturday morning cartoons just like when you were a kid. And it's fun and exciting. I love doing it.
So is that basically that's 200 episodes a year. I assume you don't shoot 200 days. Do you break that up? And even if you have to go in for 200 days, that's like teacher days, right? You get some time off.
We don't shoot it in real time. So a lot of days we'll shoot parts of 3 or 4 or 5 different episodes.
Okay.
You know, I know that breaks the fourth wall and it's more than we should be giving out, but it's interesting the way it's done. And it's done for several reasons that way. I don't understand any of them. They've explained it to me. It'd be easier for me to just start at the beginning and end at the end, but they go, no, you can't do it that way. So we do it a different way.
They're trying to protect you from Conrad. Keep your moves kind of covert. You're on another show, Bill, too, on the MeTV network. Are there any shows on MeTV you're not on? And tell us about your new show.
All right. So they added me about a year ago to Svengoolie's show. Now, I've been watching Svengoolie since I was in high school. I never in a million years thought I would be on it even once, much less almost every week. But that's what's happened. I play a character named Nostalgia Ferratu, who is an 800-year-old vampire who loves trivia. And it's been a hit with the kids.
That's
so I'm doing
so
that.
Cool.
And then there's a third show that's going to start in October that I'm sworn to secrecy about, but I will be on yet a third show on the MeTV network. And they're trying to figure out a way to get me into old episodes of Sea Hunt, but so far that has not happened.
I think 3 shows, you're doing okay. You're like the face of the network.
You know what happens is when you get older, you get a lot uglier and stuff. And I'm like, well, I shouldn't even be on one show, much less 3. But luckily, they've got very poor eyesight there at MeTV. So they let me be on 3 different shows.
You hide their bifocals from them. They keep giving you shows. Bill, how much do you make a year? Let's cut right to the chase.
I make $70 a month. So if I'm doing the math right, it's $840 a year. That's pretty good money.
You had a thing you used to do that I thought was so hilarious. You never liked when people asked you what you made. And it is a personal question. It's like mind your own business.
Yeah.
But people, whatever they asked you, whether it was a corporate gig or if you were opening at Zany's, do you remember what you'd tell them?
I can't remember.
You say whatever they say. And I remember this. People had no problem asking you what you made because comedy was so different. How much you make doing that?
Yeah.
And you always said $5,000.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my price.
I just got to go open a corporate show for 10 minutes. What do you make for something like that? $5,000.
$5,000. That's my going rate. If you want me, you got to pay me the $5,000. So sometimes I was dead on target, and other times I was off by about $4,980.
Hey, so you're a good Chicago boy. You've been there your whole life. Donahue passed away. I have to be honest, Bill. I thought he was already dead, and I don't mean to be crass.
You know what, Pete? The only thing worse than being dead is having people think that you're dead.
Not
I'd
if you want
be
anonymity.
Dead than have everyone assume I'm dead.
But did you know he was a lot? Like, he kind of hasn't done anything since some MSNBC stuff years ago. I really thought he had passed away.
No, I knew he was alive, and I had the pleasure when I was working at one of the Chicago radio stations. He came into town. I don't remember what he was promoting. I want to say for a while he did a podcast with his wife, with Marlo Thomas from That Girl. And right. I think he was in promoting that. And I got to interview him. And he was, I always envisioned him to be a very nice, fair, gentle human being. And he was beyond that. He was so cool. And like, I was pulling out episodes one by one. And I'm going, I know you did. I just bragged about doing 800 episodes. I think he did 8,000 episodes.
How about that?
Of Donahue, of his talk show. But I was pulling out like the most obscure moments that I remembered as a kid. Like, for instance, he had Alice Cooper on in the at the very pinnacle of Alice Cooper's career, when he was one of the hottest guys in rock and roll. And he came on not as Alice Cooper, but as his real self, Vincent Fernier. And he was talking about how he loves to go to church and he loves to golf and stuff. It was the exact opposite of what you'd think from Alice Cooper. But Phil Donahue made it great. He was so perfect.
Yeah, he was something else. It's funny. I don't know if kids, I remember watching him in college, and I don't know that kids now would watch a daytime talk show that wasn't like Jerry Springer or Ricky Lake, or, you know, he was like a really, he was a journalist, you know?
Yeah.
It was great.
And a groundbreaker. You know, I know if you read anything about him today, you found out that his very first guest was a woman named Madeline Murray O'Hare, who was a very controversial figure back in the 60s and into the 70s. She was an atheist when it was not a good idea to be an atheist.
Right.
And she'd come on and really challenge everybody's thoughts about religion. And that was his very first guest. And he just ran from there. But it wasn't exploitative like the talk show host that followed him. It was just very, as you pointed out, it was very journalistic. He came at it from just the right angle. And boy, was he good.
He was great. I just had one of my friends, Rob Thomas, was on, who writes for the Capital Times in Madison.
Yeah.
He's an entertainment reporter. And we were talking about there was a hoaxer named Alan Abel whose daughter did a documentary about her father. And that's what he did his adult life. He just pulled hoaxes. And one of them was he tried to outlaw breastfeeding. And he got the right all riled up, saying that women have feelings and it's improper when they're breastfeeding. And he got on Tom Brokaw. And
really?
Yes. The documentary is called Abel Raises Cain. And it blew my mind. And he was on Brokaw, and Brokaw's just nodding. And he's throwing this Alan Abel's throwing these facts out there that are just completely made up. And he's like, you know, Tom, the Minnesota study for normalcy says that 52% of women who breastfeed. And Brokaw's just nodding along. You can't fact check. There was no Google then.
Right.
And he got on. Anyway, he was on Donahue and he planted people in the audience when they were doing a thing about older homosexuals. And when these people would start to talk about their relationships, he had people faint in the studio audience.
Oh, no.
Donahue cleared the audience. You know, he cleared the whole studio audience out because he thought something was coming in through the vents or whatever. But just a great documentary if you ever get it. You would really like it. Just because
I would love to see that. All right, I'll watch it with you and Conrad just as a peace offering.
We'll just distract him with the documentary, and we'll sneak you out.
You know who else just passed away? I don't know if you've mentioned this. Peter Marshall, the longtime host of Hollywood Squares, died this week.
I saw that. Yeah, I did see that. That was before my. I don't remember watching. I guess when I was a little kid, he was the host, right? Were you a fan?
I used to love that show. Yeah, I loved it. And every once in a while, they would veer off course. Instead of doing the Hollywood Squares, they did a thing called Storybook Squares, where all the stars dressed like characters from kids' books. And they did it. It was the same rules as Hollywood Squares, but the two contestants were kids instead of adults. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. Nobody was doing stuff like that on TV at the time. So that was a lot of fun.
That's great.
Did you know Peter Marshall, is the father of a Chicago Cub? Did you know that?
I'm trying to think who the Cub would be. Marshall.
I will give you a hint. He has one of the most unfortunate names in baseball history.
And his last name is Marshall?
No, actually.
Oh.
He went by his father, Peter Marshall's real first name, not his made-up stage name.
Oh. Who was it?
Pete LeCocq.
I should have guessed that.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid watching baseball and saying, I don't think I'm supposed to be saying that name. It's just the guy's name. Like, you know.
That was his name.
That was his name.
So I still remember, like, when I was a kid and Hollywood Squares were on, the announcer would say, one of these stars is sitting in the secret square, and the contestant who picks it first could win a prize package worth $1,000. But which star is it? George Gobel, Dodie, you know, and he would just go on with all the celebrities and stuff. And as a little kid, I would say it along with the announcer of Hollywood Squares. And now Peter Marshall's dead. So what good did that do anybody?
You did your part.
I tried.
My guest is Bill Leff. He's the host of Tune In With Me every morning on MeTV. Check it out if you haven't. He's also on Svengoolie and a show to be named a TBD title, yeah. Or anonymous. What do they call that?
A show to be named later, but I can't say anything else, Pete.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm making it dangerous.
Will you come back and tell us when the show actually airs?
I would love to. Yeah.
We can watch it when it's on, right?
Yeah, it'll be on in October. Okay. Just set your VCR for people have VCRs, right? Set that for MeTV.
I still have beta. So, Bill, what's your favorite? Have you seen any of the summer movies? What's the best movie you've seen this summer? Do you have one?
Boy, you know what? I was listening to you ask that question, and I thought to myself, I don't know that I've gone. After COVID, I've only seen a handful of movies, and none of them have been great.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's very disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, I used to go to the movie theater, two or three or four times a week, and now I think I've seen three movies in the last 5 years in theaters, and that's only because they're scary and my wife refuses to go with me.
You like the scary movies?
I love scary movies.
Yeah.
Do you?
A lot of them this summer. You know, I'll be honest, I'm seeing more movies now since I've been hosting the show, and I've seen some scary ones. I'm okay with them. I don't like the really graphic, like, I don't know, did you watch The Boys?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, it's so unbelievably graphic, and it's not...
Is it good?
It is good. The writing's good, but I think they go a little too far where it kind of takes me out of it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen Maxine and X this summer, and I've seen A Quiet Place. I don't know if those are you're talking about, those types
of
films.
I would love to see that. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, we've got a lot of movies we got to watch together.
Yeah, you just say the word, and I'm there. I will tell you this on a movie-related basis. I don't know if your phone does this, but my phone does this thing where... It feeds me stories, news stories. Like if I hit the news button, it tells me stories that they think, whoever's running the phone, that I'll be interested in. And right now, this has been going on for 3 weeks now, half of the stories in my news feed are about Blake Lively. And I don't like her and I don't dislike her, but I don't need to know anything else about her. But every day I'm fed 11, 12, 13 stories about Blake Lively and the relationship she didn't have with her co-star in her latest movie. Or why she named her last daughter, what she named her, or why her sisters are all actresses, but we've never seen them in anything. Every single day I get all this stuff. How do I get out of that?
It sounds like you've read quite a few of the articles. I got to be honest.
No, I just read the headline.
Okay.
It tells me in the headline what it's about.
Can't you
but then I'm like...
Can't you click the little button that said hear less about this or kill notifications for this kind of thing?
I'm just going to bury my phone in the yard or something.
They'll still find you.
Oh, they will?
They'll still find you, Bill.
They're relentless.
Hey, what would it take? All right. What would it take you right now for you to go on the road like you did in the early 90s and let's say be the middle act for some road headliner in a city like Rockford or Akron?
Yeah.
Would you do that?
I would do it. I would be glad to do it, but my asking price, Pete, is $5,000. So if they can meet that, I'd be more than happy to do it.
I think they're going to give you summer money right now, so you might want to wait a couple months.
I'll wait until like October or November then and get my full share.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, I would do it with you. If you went on a barnstorming tour, I think I might do it with you.
That's how I am. If someone calls or a friend of mine says, hey, I'm doing a gig, will you open or whatever, I always do it. And the weird thing is I still write jokes down when I think of them. Even though I so infrequently do stand up. I do. Yeah. It's just like a habit or whatever. Hey, Bill, can you stick around for a couple more minutes?
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. We'll be right back with more with Tune In With Me, MeTV's Bill Leff. This is Nightlight with Peach Wappa.
Go! Go! Be all You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Jim from Appleton says, still with you, Pete. Nice conversation with Rob. I kind of liked falling into bad movies on cable TV once in a while, too. It is fun. It's just like, it's like nostalgic when you watch a movie that way, where there's like 5 minutes of movie, 8 minutes of commercials. Then they come back for 2 minutes of movie and do 7 minutes of commercials. Good stuff. Bill Leff is with me. He's the host of Tune In With Me on every morning on the MeTV network. It's a great show, especially if you have kids. You watch some Bugs Bunny cartoons, then Bill says funny things. It's just a great... Bill, whoever thought of that, I mean, it's just a brilliant idea.
Yes, it was Prince Charles whose idea it was.
And he wanted no piece of the action.
Monarch, but he wanted what?
He wanted no piece of the action. He didn't say, I want a taste. He just is a good guy who wanted people to be entertained.
He loves Chilly Willy cartoons. I had no idea. He called me up out of the blue one day and he goes, would you host a show where you show Looney Tunes, Wile E. Coyote, you know, Chilly Willy? And I'm like, you're Prince Charles. Yes, absolutely. I would. Yes. All right. Now I'm going to take your question about summer movie and I'm going to add Dolly Parton to the mix because it is Dolly Parton's birthday.
Yeah.
What is your all time favorite Dolly Parton movie, Pete?
Oh, you know, one of our listeners is a huge Dolly Parton fan. She says Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. I would probably agree with that because I remember liking it, but I don't know a lot of her movies. I have to be honest. So I'd probably say that one.
Well, I know a lot of people would take 9 to 5.
Oh,
For me, it's, and I think you'll agree with me on this. Her greatest movie ever was Godfather 2. I thought she was so good in Godfather 2.
Who did she play in that, Bill?
She was Hyman Roth. One of the other Dons. He was out in Florida.
Yeah.
Michael Corleone came to see Hyman Roth. That was Dolly Parton.
And nobody
knew that.
You
don't even realize it because she's so good.
God, she's just that good. That's incredible. I didn't. Yeah. I kind of forgot about that, honestly.
Yeah,
you know what I liked
amazing.
Her in? The Longest Yard. Did you see her play quarterback?
Oh, God, yeah. She's so good in that, too. She was so good in that. Did you ever see Das Boot with Dolly Parton?
She's like Tom Hanks. She's been in everything.
She's been in everything. And because she's such a chameleon, you just accept it. You go, all right, whatever you got, let me see.
You know what
she's
I think
so good.
What is so funny, Bill? Like, I've known you, like, what would we say, for 30 years or whatever. I don't think I've ever had a real conversation with you. Like, even in our emails, Bill, okay, everyone listening, Bill started calling me Debs. Just a cute housewife nickname. Debs, how are you doing? Yeah. Yes, I'd like to be on your show. And I got to come up with something to try to match what's with Bill. So I said, you know, you should call yourself Built. Like, if you ever start lifting weights, Built Left or Built Left, if that could work too. But so the last few email exchanges, it's like, Debs, yes, got the information, looking forward to it. Okay, thanks, Built. Like,
you know why, Pete? I've always thought if you're going to do something really stupid, why not just go all the way, right?
Yes.
Now your invitation to go on the road reminded me of something, and I don't know if I've ever told you this. When I did stand-up, there were certain guys I loved to work with, you being way up on the high end of that list. because you always wanted to find somebody that was really funny, hopefully really clean, very original, you know, and you certainly fit that bill. But another guy that I used to bring with me, like when I started headlining, and I go, oh, this guy's so funny, is our friend Mike Siegel, you know,
who
was in a movie that I think you wrote and directed.
He did have a part in the Godfather of Green Bay. That's correct. He was also in Traffic.
Yeah. He's had a very nice career. So one time, and if I've told you this, I'll just tell you the quick version. But we were working together in Kansas City. And, you know, whenever you go to a new club that you've never worked before, they always want you to come in early the first day so they can get to meet you and tell you what the club rules are. Sometimes they'll post the club rules somewhere. So at this club in Kansas City, in the green room, they had a list of the 10 rules of the club. And they all made sense but one. Like, it started out, it said, you must get here 20 minutes before showtime. If you're a comic on the show, you're entitled to 2 free drinks. If you want a third, it's half off. You know, it was all stuff like right. that. But the number 10 rule on this club in Kansas City was absolutely no Vegas walking.
Come on.
So Mike and I we read this, and the owner of the club is there with us, and I say, how firm are you on your no Vegas walking rule? And he goes, well, pretty firm. He goes, I want to say that if you do it once, we'll have a talk about it. If you do it twice, the week is over. I can't use you if you're going to Vegas walk. So Mike goes, what if the crowd wants us to Vegas walk? He goes, no, it doesn't matter what the crowd wants. This is a professional club. There'll be no Vegas walking. And I say, what if you start out Vegas walking, but then you look at the audience like, I got you. I'm not going to Vegas walk. He goes, guys, I can't stress this enough. You cannot Vegas walk in this club. I don't know where else you work. We don't allow it. All right. So that was about 25 years ago. To this day, Pete, I have no idea what Vegas walking is. I don't know if I ever did it by accident. I just know that in Kansas City, you better not do it.
I thought you were going to say, like, so we decided to Vegas walk and then, like, kind of sashayed into a foxtrot or something, you know. That's funny. Oh, my gosh. What is that?
And like, I don't know what it means. I have no idea. And I know I could probably Google it.
Yeah.
But I'd rather spend the rest of my life not knowing.
Maybe it's like James Caan when he kind of puts his shoulders back and puts his chest out, maybe. That could be a
Vegas one. I think that could be it, but why would he be so adamant that nobody do it? What is he losing in that?
Yeah, because it's kind of cool.
I just thought maybe, this is in the back of my imagination, maybe it means getting up and just really taking your time getting to the stage, maybe playing a hand or two of blackjack on the way, you know, seeing a show.
Wearing sunglasses.
Liza.
Yeah, right.
Sunglasses.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Bill, that's funny. Thank you. I thought you were going to say Mike Siegel tried to kill you, but I'm glad you didn't
say
that.
Well, Mike Siegel,
you guys are both
would
dear
not,
friends.
He would be a protector
True.
If Conrad ever does what he says he's going to do.
And you don't want to mess with Mike.
I don't want to mess with Mike
he'll,
Siegel.
He'll,
thank
he'll
you.
Vegas walk your ass right into the... That is
he's
so...
He's done it before.
Have you ever Googled that? You should Google that. Maybe it's like a thing.
I don't want to know.
You don't want to know. I'll Google it.
It's so much better not to know, isn't it?
I agree. Bill, thanks so much. This is so fun.
Thanks, Pete.
Happy
Dolly Parton's birthday to you and you, Conrad. I hope you love me one day.
I'll keep him away from you. I'll set a screen and roll.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Have a great night.
Bye, guys.
Check out Me TV and tune in with me every morning. Bill's so funny. He's the host. I'd like to thank Rob Thomas. Thank you for watching on the stream tonight, folks, and sticking with us. It's been a lot of fun.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511wi.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.